Would you find the passage, Colossians 3, 15 through 17? Let me read it with you and to you. Let the peace of the Messiah, Christ, that word Messiah means the anointed one, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude or thanks in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and Father through him. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And Lord, you will remind me today that you look at all of us, but you look at me differently. I'm under a greater or more strict judgment from you, and I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. And thank you for 21 years of faithfulness to us. I know there are more. It'll be endless. Just thanks. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you today. With the happenings in our nation and around us, for about three or four Sundays, I've been telling you during the prayer time about let the Lord help us to become peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they be called the sons and the daughters of God. What can we do to head things off that are going along in people's lives? Just accept the fact that God uses us as instruments of peace. I want to explain that today a little longer with you. We're going to be talking about being peacemakers, about the Word of God and discipleship, and about how we live this out. So I want you to look at verse 15. And in verse 15, 16, and 17, everything is going to end up with being thankful. Let the peace of the Messiah, Christ, the Anointed One, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts and be thankful. We're going to be talking about how the peace of God does that. But I want you to see how in Scripture, not only this verse calls believers to be united in peace, I want you to see how unity and harmony is a work of the Spirit. Look at Ephesians 4, 3. In Ephesians 4, 3, it says, diligently work hard at keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. And just leave that verse there for a moment, Tammy, if you will. I know there can be a lot of excuses of why people don't want to plug in and be a part of a gathering, be a part of a church. And my friend David Cottrell, I used him this morning. He said, one is excuses is good. Another, you might as well say, I don't have enough peanut butter, you know? And I know people can come up with all kinds of excuses of why I don't want to be in church. But I will give them at least this. If the people of God don't live among themselves with the peace of God, it becomes a legitimate factor that the people of God at least should be demonstrating the peace of God among ourselves. It's very important to see that Scripture does mandate, work hard at keeping the unity and the Spirit with the peace that binds us together. Look at Isaiah 9:6. This is Isaiah going to the throne room of God, coming back with a description of the Lord. A child will be born for us, the son will be given, the government will be on his shoulders, he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting or Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. What I want to show you is that the peace that you and I are seeking comes from a person. That peace is his peace. It's Christ's peace. Look at John 14, 27. In John 14, 27, he's talking to disciples. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives, which is temporary. The world lays it out there and pulls it away from you. I remember one time Andrew was at a swimming pool, and there was this kid from Texas, and he was bigger than everybody else. And Andrew was much younger, and the guy's name was Malcolm. Malcolm had Andrew stand on a towel. You remember this, Julie? Had Andrew stand on a towel, and my little son gullible, wanting to get along with bigger kids, you know? He gets on the towel, Malcolm just takes that towel and jerks it out from under him, and Andrew flips right then. As a parent, I'm wanting to whip anybody that's kin to him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, right? You know, I mean, just gullible. I think that's what the world does to you. I think the world is, come step on the towel. Ha, ha, ha. You know, and there you go. So the Lord does not give to you as the world gives to you, because the world lays it out there and then pulls it back. He said, your heart must not be troubled, nor let it be fearful or afraid. The point I want you to understand here is we're going to have a big group hug right here for a moment, a big counseling session, and that is you can't generate the peace that you want. And we try hard. You need to give up on that. If you could generate that kind of peace, you would have already done it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You'll go, well, Pastor Jeff, I love to go to the Smokies, which I do, and go to Cades Cove, my favorite place, one of my favorite places on the planet. And I used to live in East Tennessee, and so it's just got a whole lot of sentiment to me. And I go there, and you go, that place brings me peace. It is a peaceful place. It is a peaceful place. There's no doubt about it. But that doesn't bring me peace. It's a tranquil peace. Here's what you got to work through when it comes to, I need to get away. And I'm not saying you shouldn't get away. But the retreat or the vacation or whatever you're looking for, you're going, man, that brought me a lot of peace. No, what happened there is you had no responsibilities. We all are looking for that spot where there's no responsibility. And if we go there and they're making up your room and they fix you food and all that, you're going, man, this is peaceful. It's just no responsibility, right? I don't know that a place can give you the peace that you want. It becomes less responsibility for us. There's a little bit more fun and less responsibility. What I want you to see is the peace you and I need comes from a person. It doesn't come from a place. It comes from a person, and that person is the very person of Christ. It says, back to verse 15, it says in this verse that the peace of God that he gives us, let the peace of Christ the Messiah, to which you were also called in you, what does this peace do? It says it controls our hearts. I really like this word control, not because I'm a control freak, but the word control here means referee or umpire. That's exactly what the word means. I'll tell you a reason that I like it. You may not believe this, but I used to be a high school football official. There's nothing worse than a preacher running around with a whistle and flag, right? And if you know Christy Thomas in Lexington, who does a lot of broadcasting for UK, Christy is from Campbellsville. And I remember when Christy was born. Christy, her dad was my high school football coach. His name is Mike Thomas. A little bit of trivia. He has the first recorded tackle in Commonwealth Stadium. He played for Virginia Tech, and his first tackle was on a kickoff. So I know it's Kroger Field now, but he has the very first recorded tackle. Has a little bit of trivia. If you hear that on the radio, you might win something. Mike was my coach. Later as I grew up, we stayed close friends. Christy was born when we were at football camp. And I remember we were glad because Mike had to go home. And it's great when your coach, your football coach goes home from football camp, right? Makes it a little easier. So he asked me to be on his officiating crew. And so we officiated all over the state of Kentucky, and that's been a long time ago. But I like this because I have been a high school football official. But the word control there means umpire or referee. Now let's put all this together. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of peace in you, is going to call the foul before the foul happens. You with me? Let's systematically get this. In other words, he doesn't call the foul after the fact. He calls the foul before the fact so that you don't do the foul. So the Spirit of God in you is going, blowing the whistle, throwing the flag. I'm doing that because football season just started. I know there's other sports, but we'll stick with football seasonally right now. He's blowing the whistle, calling the flag. He's telling you ahead of time, don't do that. Don't respond with your flesh. Don't do that. Because he's going to control your heart. Don't do that. So be thankful that the Spirit of God is telling us not to do stuff before we do it, not just after the fact. And so he's telling us that let the peace of the Christ, the Messiah, let what does this peace do? It controls my heart. He calls the foul, he calls the flag before it ever happens. And so you've got to know that we want to keep peace whatever it takes. Now, here's what your response is. Hey, preacher, it'll be peaceful if they do the way that I want them to. Right? We'll have peace when we do it. One person is actually, your giggle has made my day today. I just want you to know that. The person that says, I'll have peace if it comes out my way. Foul, whistle blown, 15-yard penalty, personal foul, right? He calls it out ahead of time. But we think getting our way is the way that the peace occurs. He's like, whatever it takes. Scripture says this, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Let's figure it out. Well, who's going to help me figure it out? Well, the peace of God is going to help you figure it out. I'm not going to get that from Cade's Cove. I'm not going to get that from a vacation. That can only come from a place. That can only come not from a place, but from a person. It comes from him, and it controls our hearts. And then he says, be thankful. Be thankful because you can have this peace. In the spirit of teaching discipleship culture, I want you to listen up, all right? I told you 2 years ago you're going to hear this word a lot. I'm going to tell you now you're going to continue to hear this word a lot, and the word is tension. Tension. Tension is all around us. It's in all of our lives. It is there. Tension is an indicator of where you need to be discipled. Okay? So wherever the tension is, you're going to be discipled. Let me give you one that you will hopefully laugh at. But as a pastor, I could bring up this topic, this spiritual topic, as far as following Christ. You'll be okay with it. I'll bring up another one, no tension. But I bring up tithing, and tension goes all over the room like a Super Bowl, right? I can bring up tithing, and you start bouncing around all over the place. Well, that if your tension is there, then that's where you need to be discipled. All of our tensions are at different spots. But wherever the tension is an indicator of where the discipleship needs to occur. So you're looking all around you, and I'm telling you in the rest of your day today, wherever you see people's tension is a spot of discipleship. It has to occur. It becomes the indicator. Let me, for example, when your first parents, right? Your first parents, we learned, back then you didn't have a whole lot to read, Dr. Spock, and I'm not talking about Star Wars, I'm talking about Dr. Spock was about all there was out there for you to read in raising a child. But we learned early on that if there was tension with me and Julie in the house, then it caused tension in Andrew and Laura. And I'll say Andrew since he's the firstborn, being new parents. If there's tension, I mean, Andrew couldn't speak English, he couldn't read, he didn't understand, but if he knew things were tense between mom and dad, he knew they became tense with him, right? You learn how that affects. And if I can see that in a marriage and in the life of a mom and a dad, then how much more do I see what's happening nationally in our culture? There's just so much tension, and it continues to breed tension. And tension to all of us in the kingdom is a place that we need to disciple people. It becomes a huge indicator. What's it an indicator of? It's an indicator of what area of your life and the life of others that need the peace of God. That's what it is. So wherever you're tense, I can bring up something as a pastor that is a part of a believer's life, and I get to that one topic, and you just go bonkers. outwardly you're not doing anything. Inwardly you're bouncing around like a super ball in a room. And what does that mean? Then that, to me, that area that just started driving you crazy is the area that you need to be personally discipled. And that's how you look at it. It becomes the indicator. Some of you all have said about me, Jeff, you don't react to much anymore. Hopefully, the Lord is bringing his peace, and I'm allowing him to, because he will, his peace to areas of my life that used to cause tension. Like if somebody left the church, how many of you are preacher's kids in here? Got a bunch of them. Somebody left the church. The enemy wants me to feel like I'm responsible for that. So it used to be a place of tension to me. I'd run off and promise them half the offering if they'd come back, you know? I can't do that, by the way. I just want you to know. You do understand that's a figure of speech, right? Y'all looking at me a little weird. So the point is, I realize I don't take that personal. I've let the peace of God come to that tension place in my life. I don't take it personal. I've got a responsibility to do. I need to do it to the best of my ability. I pray that before I preach. I try to live that out. And then I can't make you come back, you know? I just can't make you come back. And my point in that is, I let the peace of God speak to that tension in my life. Tension becomes an indicator. But it said, we need to be thankful. Why? Because we do have a chance at this peace. And it comes from him. Verse 16, Colossians 3:16. Says, let the word or the message about Christ, the Messiah, dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Again, it ends with thankfulness. We want the Word of God, we want you in the Word of God, but we want the Word of God in you. You in the Word of God, but we really want the Word of God in you. And we get that from this. The word dwell there means you house it. That you let it take up residence within your life. And then it says, we want the word of God, Paul says, to be in you richly. What in the world would that mean? Well, who is wealthier, a person who has godly wisdom or somebody who has a lot of money? That's a great Sunday school answer. Good. You know, there are three answers to Sunday school questions, right? Yes, no, and Jesus, right? So it's a good answer. Good answer. Family Feud. Good answer. Richard Dawson. Good answer. He who has godly wisdom is wealthier than a person who has a lot of money. And that's why Paul uses the word richly. Let the word of God take up residence in your life, because that alone will have you to having godly wisdom, responding with godly wisdom, and it responds with the kingdom of God. We have a kingdom of God reaction. It says here that it leads to worship. It leads to worship and teaching and correction. And the word of God reminds me of the promises of God, and it reminds me of the places of God. For example, Charles is dying. That's very difficult for me. I know he's ready to go home. I know he's 92 years young. Many of you all know him. My dad died in 1990. He has become like a dad to me. I went Thursday and said goodbye to Charles. He and I had our time of goodbye. And it really wasn't goodbye, it was see you later. But we had that time together. Last 2 years, going on three, we've been in a deep season of grief. And you're going, hey preacher, you should be out of that by now. I'm more out of it than I used to be. I'm gonna be out of it better in the future. But my point is, grief still sees me coming and drops. He's behind a tree and he jumps out on me sometimes when I least expect it. But I'm going through a season of grief. My family, Julie and I are, our family is. And even with Charles, it's there. Even with Mama Lou, it's there. Because Charles and Mama Lou were very instrumental in my life and in the life of the beginning of this church. So it's a season of grief. And you're like, well, preacher, you should be over it by now. I'm much better than I used to be, and I'm going to be better in the future. But my point is this. I can be thankful in the midst of all this grief. And you're going, how? because I know from His word dwelling in my heart that I don't walk alone. I don't walk alone. He has never left me. He's never left me. So I can give thanks in that. I can give thanks in the fact that His word dwells in my heart. And because of His word in my heart, I'm able to pull it up in situations and know that I don't walk alone. His promise is there. Charles is at the Willows in Harrodsburg, and that's where the Eddie Montgomery restaurant used to be, and now it's a nursing home and an assisted living. So I was there with him and said goodbye to him Thursday. And it was a deeply emotional time. And I was leaving, coming through the foyer, and the foyer is where the restaurant used to be, these big tall ceilings. And there's a guy at the piano, and it's a keyboard. It's not a real piano, it's electronic. And he's just playing away, and this guy's gifted. You know, not only does he know theory and he know how to play, but he knows how to flow. And I'm not talking about Progressive Insurance here. So he's just moving it, right? There's all these people who are in the nursing home around him. And when I come around, he starts playing Jesus Loves the Little Children. Okay? I start crying. I just start crying. There's all these people around him, and some of them don't even know their own flesh and blood. And they start singing it with him. And then I start crying more. Why am I crying? Because I'm a crybaby? Yes. Why am I crying? Because not only was that precious, but the Word of God that's in me calls me to a bigger point of worship where every tribe and tongue is going to stand around the throne and bring worship together. Do you see that little spot of worship there with people singing Jesus Loves the Little Children when they don't know their own children, but they know that is a sign that, look what it says, the hymns and the psalms and the spiritual songs and the Word of God is all in there. But I saw that and was moved by that, but the Word of God in me moved me to a bigger time. When every tongue, nation, tribe is going to be around the throne and bring worship that He is worthy of together, and it just moved me to tears. I called Doug and Jesse Lusher. They're always in the first service. Many of you all know them, some of you don't. Very active in our church, very influential at the beginning of our church. I called them up just to make sure I was right this week about this next story. And we were in the hospital looking, we were seeing Tammy McCall's mother who passed away. And Doug was on one side of Tammy's mom and I was on the other. And we were praying over her and I heard a harp. I started hearing a harp playing a hymn. And I kind of opened one eye up. You know, you got to be half reverent. You know what I'm saying? One eye closed. I looked at Doug and I was thinking, I wonder if Doug's hearing a harp. Well, Doug and I catch eyes. He got one eye closed, one eye open. And I know he's wondering if I'm hearing a harp. And then Doug's eyes shoot straight up and we hear this harp playing this beautiful music. And I thought, well, I said, Doug, are we going together? I mean, I didn't know what was going on. And what we did know, and it still happens today, there's a lady who has a harp on a cart with wheels on it, and it's amplified. She's got a little microphone, got a little, I think it's a keyboard amp, if you really want to know what it is, the speaker. And she's at a different hospital every day, and she just goes up and down the hallways playing that harp. And Doug and I laugh about that today. But here's what happened. Let me tell you what happened. The Word of God in me led to worship during that time because I know that one day He's going to blow the trumpet and I could be living, right? So we can look at what's happening in the Middle East or what's happening in America and we could come up with speculation on when the Lord's coming back. But one day the trumpet's going to blow to a generation of people, right? So when that was going on, I was like, I wonder if this is the prelude to Gabriel blowing the horn, you know? Because it matched scripture, right? That was coming in me. Doug, we might be living together. We might be going off together. It led to worship. Do you see that? It leads to encouraging one another. The Word of God encourages one another. Now when people are going through grief, one of my key words, I said it to Carolyn just the other day, you don't walk alone. Where do I get that? I get that from Scripture. The enemy's going to say he's left you. Scripture says he will never leave you. So the Word of God taking up residence starts changing and controlling my life and my response to that. And it said, when you put all this together, you're doing this with gratitude in your hearts because of what God has done. It leads to thankfulness. Verse 15, thankful. Verse 16, thankful. Verse 17, and guess what we're going to handle? Thankful. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here's how it all happens. Verse 15, the rule of God, the peace of God ruling your heart is inward. Verse 16, the word of God dwelling in your life is inward. Verse 17 is outward. Those two things happening inward produce this outward response. Whatever I do, I know Paul's not talking about mowing a yard or weed eating, but when you mow a yard and you weed eat, as if unto the Lord. I know that's not on his mind. This is whatever you do. Whatever, if you put your name to it, you're putting his name to it. If you put your name to it, you're putting his name to it. So verse 15, the peace of God is inward. Verse 16, the word of God dwelling is inward. Verse 17 is outward. It says, let everything you do, because when you're doing the rule of God, the peace of God ruling your heart and the word of God dwelling in your life, then you're thankful. Everything that goes on is thankful. You understand where it comes from. Look at Colossians 1:17. Colossians 1:17 tells us that he is before all things and by him all things are held together. So if the peace of God is ruling your heart and the word of God is taking up residence in your life, then you're going to be thankful. You know what happens? We quit complaining. Listen to me, I love you deeply, but don't you go complaining like the rest of the world. Because the rest of the world, it's angst, it is stress, it is strife, it is anger, it is worry, it is envy, it is, they're jealous because they think other people are more valued than others. And when you understand the word of God, you know that we all have value to him. All of us do that. So what's going on here? We're letting the peace of God rule your heart, the word of God dwell in your life. Those are inward, so you'll have an outward reaction. And the outward you're going to have is because of what the kingdom, it's a kingdom response. And this world that's mad about everything and complaining about everything needs our kingdom response of finding how you can be thankful. 15 and 16 are inward, 17 is outward. They will be able to notice what is going on. I did a little survey, and it comes from Psychology Today and all kinds of different places. So I can't give one reference, but it's how thankfulness affects us. Said in your workplace, there's increased energy for you to do your work, increased productivity. Your job performance goes up. You're able to reach your goals greater if you're thankful. Which in my mind, having hired and fired and trained people, it is, that equals promotion in my book. I know everything's not fair, I get it. But being thankful, if you're the only person in your work systems that's thankful, guess what? I promise you will be noticed. You will be noticed. When it comes to anxiety, it said thankfulness reduces depression. It helps you with your self-image. It helps you in sleep quality. It reduces stress. When it comes to relationships, the relationships are deeper when you're thankful. It says you are more liked. I thought, of course you are, right? Of course you are. Happiness and well-being is there. This is what I thought was interesting. If you're a thankful person, you have more love and empathy to other people. In other words, I can bring up something like in El Paso, and you're thinking, man, that's horrible, and then it's not long till that's just absolutely left your mind. If you're thankful, then you have love and empathy, which means you're more generous and you are more of a blessing to people. You don't mind blessing folks. Because when you're thankful of where everything you get comes from, you don't mind blessing other people as well. When it comes to your health, it helps decrease your blood pressure. It helps lower your, it helps to strengthen your immune system. It helps you to eat healthier, i.e. Trainer Joe. It helps you to reduce your anger and your hatred and your envy. There's just a whole lot that thankfulness will do to your life. And I want to tell you, being thankful in a world that's ungrateful, I promise you, you're going to stand out. But how do I stand out? Because I let the peace of God rule my heart, and I let the Word of God take up residence in my life. Then whatever I do in word or deed, I do all to the name of the Lord. Proverbs 22:1. I mentioned your name. I mentioned you having a good name. This is one of my life verses for me personally. A good name is to be chosen over great wealth. Some of us may choose wealth. Favor is better than silver or gold. Which takes me back to Paul saying, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Because godly wisdom means you're more wealthier than somebody with a great sum of money. You can't put a money measure on the wisdom of God in your life. And so, do I think we should all live by this? Yeah, because Scripture asks us to. You should strive to have a good name, live with character and integrity and influence. You should. But here's the catch. When people point to your good name, you make sure you point them to His good name. When people point to your good name, make sure you reflect it to His good name. How is that possible? The peace of God referees my life. I'm thankful because He'll tell me beforehand, don't do that. Don't respond that way. I'm thankful because the Word of God lives in me richly. It gives me wisdom. It's always going to be contrary to what the world tells you to do. Always, it's not going to match it. It's going to be against it. And I can follow it. Be thankful that the Word of God brings you direction. And then I let those two inward things produce my outward response. Whatever I do in word or deed, I do it all. I do it all to the glory of God. Because when people point to your good name, then you and I are going to point them to His greater name. Amen? You got that? I hope it blesses you today. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray over our people today. We do ask you to search us within us about your peace ruling us. Father, we do ask that you continue to remind us to let your word dwell in our lives for the outward response of you. And right now, to all of you who are here with your heads bowed, I'm going to ask you just to stop. I know we've prayed thankfulness, but stuff has come up while we had the service, either in my preaching or singing or whatever. Would you bow and give thanks to the Lord for what He's raised up in you right now? Even if there's a place of tension, I'm going to ask, don't ask Him to come and take it. I want you to give it to Him. For places of tension, Lord, there's tension. I need your peace here. I'm giving you this. I'm giving you this. So we're giving Him places of tension for His peace and His word to dwell. But then also we're giving thanks of things that He's just reminded us of even while we were hearing His word together. Our invitation is for you to come and surrender today. There'll be people here to help you with that and minister to you. If you're a believer, we offer communion. The bread represents His body given, the drink, His blood shed. Take the bread, dip it into the drink. And before you consume it, remember His sacrifice and do what? And give thanks for what He has done. The invitation is this. Whosoever will, for whatever reason today, we ask you to come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, find your spot. Logan's going to lead us. You come and respond. God bless you. Thanks for being here today.